And the voice can be so targeted towards us.
I kind of feel like voices are a magnetic field, an energy.
And you don't often get a choice about that.
To me, it actually makes sense that at the beginning of early recordings, people were not trusting the fact of recording a voice.
I was also interested in kind of how we internalize different voices with the voice, say, of politicians, how they speak on behalf of us.
They were like, what's this recording? Are you recording souls? Kind of.
No, not strictly.
Strictly.
The disembodied voice.
My name's Prem Sahib, and I'm an artist. I make sculpture mostly, but I also work with installation and sound. I think in the very broadest sense, I'm interested in the structures that we inhabit that shape our sense of self and our relationship to others, whether they're architectural structures or social ones.
My name is Felicia Atkinson. I'm a French composer, musician and artist. I live in the wild shore of Normandy. My approach to music and art in general is connected deeply with space, language, randomness, and the idea of an ecosystem where each thing feeds the other.
Naming is important, but also kind of not naming gives things a kind of restlessness, I think, that I'm interested in. It's like when I think about work that declares its politics sometimes, I am sometimes curious about whether that's also defining the parameters in which it can function.
I remember encountering Prem's work when I did the artist residency at La Bec in Switzerland. In La Bec's garden, there is a few sculptures by Prem. What I understood is that they are possible furniture for cruising for men. It's funny because I spent so much time just writing and reading on those sculptures, especially because it was during COVID, so it was closed and they were facing the Lake of Geneva. I think I even recorded there, you know, I'm almost sure.
I open my feet. To the fresh dirt. I hold your hand. You hold his hand. In the distance.
Usually in working with more kind of abstract, formal arrangements of things, but there are times where I kind of like the immediacy and the explicitness of a voice. Recently, I've made a few things where the voice has been quite central. And one of those is a work I made in 2020 using the recording of someone I met in a gay chat room online.
I don't want you perverts drooling over me and deviantly sexually objectifying my hotness. Hello. I read the damn homepage and said this was a random chat room for gay people.
Essentially, it was a kind of sex chat room where you're paired up with different people. And it's there that I encountered this guy who was being racist and homophobic and still identifying as a gay man.
But he knows the fucking British aren't white. You're goddamn... sons of bitches, you got your sense of entitlement, such unction and pretentiousness.
So I was just typing and he could see me and my body and I couldn't see him. His voice maybe lived in my head more than if it was attached to a person necessarily. The power of the voice definitely kind of stuck. All these questions came about one, the ethics of kind of using it in its original format, and two, not giving it more space. And then the idea to treat it quite sculpturally came about through me experimenting with slowing it down, also through playing it through different materials.
Feel like voices or a magnetic field, an energy, a thing that passes through us, especially through recordings. As soon as I make a recording, it's not my voice anymore, it's not me. It's an object that people take.
Obsessive. Quixotic. Megalomaniacal. Outrageous.
To me, it actually makes sense that at the beginning of early recordings, people were doubtful of them, or they were not trusting the fact of recording a voice. They were like, what's this recording? Are you recording souls? Because kind of, there is a part of it. As soon as it's recorded, there is a detachment, but also maybe a loss.
C'est comme
I think the voice I want when I record or when I play live, I try to make it kind of transparent.
À l'intérieur, on qui dort. Et à l'extérieur, dans l'orgite.
I really want to disappear.
Et la nuit défile.
And that the voice is like something kind of floating.
Elle n'intéresse ni l'archéologue, ni l'artiste, ni le diamanteur.
It's really, I see it as a horizon, something very horizontal, but it's not my everyday voice at all.
Voice can be so targeted towards us, and you don't often get a choice about that.
Dense chaos,
misrepresentation,
embedded,
dense,
millions of people.
Millions.
I think with the more recent work that I've made with the voice, say, of politicians, I'm thinking about how we become subject to their thinking. And also how they speak on behalf of us. That was something that really stayed with me through thinking about Suella Braverman's speech, how much she's speaking on behalf of the British people, and how I personally felt like I wanted to refute that. My piece for Somerset House Assembly is called Elias, and the piece uses two speeches by Suella Braverman, one on the illegal migration bill and the other at the Tory party conference, and focuses on how I can process that material and possibly change its direction.
It's why the Prime Minister made stopping the boats one of his five promises
to the British people.
And it's why according to the opinion polls,
the British people
back this government's bill. They back this government's bill by more than 2-1. This does not mean, Mr. Deputy Speaker, as some assert, that
the British people
are xenophobic.
The piece is structured in three acts, and each of the acts take a title from a poem that's become a reference by Henri Michaux called I Am Rowing. The first act, Enter the House of Suffering, uses the speech in the House of Commons on the illegal migration bill.
Now let's be honest.
The vast
majority
of arrivals, 74% in 2021, were adult males under the age of 40. The vast majority were not pregnant women.
The vast majority were not young children.
74% in 2021 were adult males under the age of 40.
Thinking about the way that a speech is crafted and how things like repetition are used made me kind of think about how I can use the same tactics. So she talks about adult males under the age of 40 and how it's not women and children coming over. And so I kind of use repetition to draw attention to things as well that I feel like might otherwise get missed. And the second act, I Am Rowing Against Your Days, we experiment a bit more with the reverse and kind of manipulating her speech, almost as if sending it back. Act three is called I Split Into Countless Rowers, and here sentiments become divided into words and sounds that are kind of deconstructed and fragmented. Having had to listen to it so many times, it's kind of had this really insidious effect on me where I kind of have internalized the way in which she even delivers the speech and the words. They live with me in a very kind of physical way almost.
The voice in my work took a little bit of time to appear. At the beginning, I was not using voice at all. I was doing more noise music, and after a while, it arrived. And I'm interested in this fictive world, actually. My mom was a librarian. There were a lot of books, and my dad had records. So to me, these were people somehow. And then you want to talk to the books and you want to talk to the record.
Living little humble loves, footlings, boneless as noses. It is warm and tolerable in the bowel of the root. Here is a cuddly mother.
For example, when I did the song Pieces of Sylvia, somehow I was thinking about Sylvia Plath in the record and of her daily life and her tragic ending and how, that was the word how that I have like always in my mind. And so I would just pick words and I wanted to be in a dialogue with her through my voice.
He lives in an old well, only a stone hole. He's to blame for the candle's mouth. He's like a singleless moth.
I'm not sure I have voices in my head, but I have voices. I think I carry some silences of people somehow. I echo a moment of silence sometimes that appear in people.
So the piece sort of becomes an incantation in a way, and I kind of see that in relation to other things that I've been listening to and thinking about. For instance, a poem that's become a reference by Henri Michaux called I Am Rowing. I have cursed your forehead, your belly, your life. I've cursed the streets your steps plod through, the things your hands touch. I've cursed the inside of your dreams. I've placed a puddle in your eye so you can't see anymore. An insect in your ear so that you can't hear anymore. A sponge in your brain so you can't understand anymore. I have frozen you in the soul of your body, iced you in the depths of your life. The air you breathe suffocates you. The air you breathe has the air of a cellar, is an air that has already been exhaled and puffed out by hyenas. So I came across Henri Michaux through Diamant de Galles. Henri Michaux was a Belgian-born French poet, writer, and painter. And I think he was part of the Tachiste movement in the 1940s and 50s. Although I think he's one of these artists that kind of is a bit difficult to define, which makes me even more interested in him. The world moves away from you. I am rowing. I am rowing. I am rowing against your life. I am rowing. I split into countless rowers to row more strongly against you. It's a hex poem, and from my understanding, it's not so much concerned with the kind of objective destruction of a real antagonist, but it's aiming to transform one's relationship to that person as they kind of impede on one's own environment.
So I discovered Henri Michaux when I was in high school. I was very fascinated by the way he was passing from writing to drawing, because at that time I wanted to be a writer. I didn't imagine I could be a musician or an artist. He was not speaking so much about men and women. He was more complex, speaking actually about forces.
You fall into blurriness. You're out of breath. You get tired before the slightest effort. I row, I row, I row. You go off drunk, tied to the tail of a mule. Drunkenness like a huge umbrella that darkens the sky and assembles the flies.
The curse, what it is to say that. He has this kind of abstract, cubist way of speaking. He was a great writer and a great artist, because I think he was very ahead of his time. This idea of literature or poetry not being a plain surface on a page with one voice speaking about something, but more like multiple identities. One of the first things he said, because he had this heart condition, Henri Michaux, je suis troué. I was born troué. I was born with a hole. This idea that actually the universe, the particles, go through you. and that it's not only yourself that you are made of. You're also made of the whole universe. And that to me, it's very interesting because more and more I think about that, like this vastness.
I row, I row, I am rowing against your days. You enter the house of suffering. I row, I row. On a black blindfold, your life is unfolding. So this idea of a curse or an incantation as a way to sort of challenge power has become quite important in my thinking. It's a reference rather than a hex against Suella. It's more like making them better, a better version of them. So in a way, I kind of feel like with Suella's words, I'm hoping to make something that is more interesting than the words that she's actually said or put out into the world. On a great white eye of a one-eyed horse, your future is unrolling. I am rowing.
I strongly believe that music is actually, the purpose of music is to decurse you, to uncurse you, to protect you, to soothe you, to heal you, to give love, basically. Maybe it's a bit naive, and I'm okay with that, because I believe whispering is really about that. And so my response to curse and hex and malediction is whispering. Because the whisper can be really tough and mean. Like when you imagine a curse, you can imagine it really. And I'm interested in fear, for example, in music. I think I did a few songs that I found a bit terrifying. But I'm too afraid to curse anything. I would be more trying to do the opposite.
Les yeux ouverts, regarde les yeux fermés, se persuade de souffrir, je connais, c'est inquiétant, mystère.
The meaning is very important, but most of the time people don't get it because I speak not very loud, and with the electroacoustic it's hidden, and sometimes people complain, actually they're like, it sounded nice but I didn't get it, and I'm like, it's totally okay. If the meaning is there, then even if you don't hear it, you'll get it. So then it connects a bit to magic, of course.
So shape-shifting is a kind of interesting one. I guess the title, the word Elias, which is Suella in reverse, sounds a bit like the word alias. So it kind of points to this mercurial identity forms and positions. And I think with looking at a figure like Suella Braverman and thinking about someone delivering a political speech, I was interested in how those ideas and sentiments then disperse into a broader society. I was also interested in kind of how we internalize different voices, how they live with people, how they're transformed, how they're remixed or regurgitated, and how they embolden people as well. And one of the things I guess I am interested in is, you know, people of color that are the people that deliver this kind of racist rhetoric and language, thinking about this kind of shifting of different positionalities and who are the faces or the voices, rather, that deliver this kind of language and what that means.
Shape-shifting, it's funny, I made this record when I had this alias called Je suis le petit chevalier, which means I am the little knight. And the album I called An Age of Wonder, before I was calling it like that, I called it Shape-shifter. Shape-shifting, it's one thing that music can definitely bring, because in music there is no body, there are just incarnations and disincarnations somehow. So acoustics can bring that. maybe my bath, you don't know when it's where, and you can blur the sources of what you record and make it more like memory, where you are often in several states in the same time.
I think it's really important that there's some memory, in a way, in the words, I think often things move so fast in politics that we kind of forget or want to put things behind us. And I kind of want her words to stick, actually.
Most of the time when we speak, there are little flashes of many places, of many faces, of many ideas. So the shape-shifting is in our mind all the time, and voice can bring actually a kind of a vessel for that.
À l'intérieur et à l'extérieur.
You tidy it, you kind of organize it suddenly. You make it as a path, a river of it.
Être une paroi.
James Joyce said, shut your eyes and see. I think music can provoke that.